informative, and engaging. Rick Mudd. Rick Mudd on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we are marching merrily into our number two of Locked and Loaded today on TNT Radio. Today's News Talk, not trinitrotoluene, which is dynamite, but today's News Talk. And today we're going to talk about the news because that's what we're all about. And we were having a good conversation in the first hour with Jody Newell, who is based in Arizona. Later on in the show, I have Roger Tattersall, who's going to be joining me from England, but he's just came back from France. And now we have someone from America who is in Croatia. It's all very confusing here on TNT Radio, to be quite frank. Why don't people just stay where the hell they are and stop moving around and jumping around in time zones and messing my head up? Because it's difficult for me. I'm not very intelligent, so it's difficult for me to process things sometimes with my condition. You know what I mean? So anyway, Kat Lindley. Thankfully, Dr. Kat Lindley is going to be beaming in and joining us. She has beamed in and she's going to be joining us in a minute for some discussion on various shenanigans that's happening across the globe. Before I welcome her to take the stand, look at what's happening at the moment. Daily Mail is reporting that stabbed to death next to the school gates, horror at home time as a wonderful boy, 15, is grabbed, pinned down and knifed repeatedly. A 16-year-old boy has been arrested on suspicion of murder. Murder's nothing new. It's as old as time itself. But the frequency and severity that it's occurring at the moment and the people that it's occurring with, i.e. kids killing each other, brutally stabbing each other and many times videoing it, I'm putting it onto social media. This week alone, I've seen at least four stabbings. And it's not something I want to see. You click on the link and it's like some girls stabbing each other in a supermarket. When I was younger, that stuff didn't happen. All right. I'm 49. When I was in my 20s, back in the 80s and the 90s, girls didn't go around stabbing each other in the face. They just didn't. Not on the level at which they're doing it now. School kids didn't bring knives to school, hold each other down and stab themselves to death. It didn't happen, right? And yeah, it didn't happen. At least not the way it's happening at the minute. But it's almost part of life right now. And we're becoming desensitized to it. I've seen a compilation clip of attacks that are happening in Ireland over the last couple of years, where groups of gangs of youth are beating up old people and kicking them and attacking them and stabbing them with broken bottles. And this compilation clip's, it's about 5 minutes long and it's nonstop. It's 3 seconds of this, 3 seconds of that. It's horrific. You know, you got to watch your back out there. Always be on your guard. Make sure you're aware of your surroundings. And if you feel bad, let your gut be your best guide. Doesn't matter if things look peaceful and you think everything's all right. If you get a bad feeling, get the hell out. That's my motto. And don't be afraid to run away. Don't try and be a hero. Don't try and make a stand. Run. Okay. And if you think that's the easy way, Bruce Lee himself said, the best way to win a fight is to run away from it. That way you're guaranteed to survive. And he was very fit and he could run very fast. So I would say, learn how to run and get your cardio happening because it could save your life. That was a bit random, but there you go. A little bit of a life hack from me. Dr. Claire Craig is reporting on Australia, 2,500 excess deaths in Australia that were not COVID, mostly cardiovascular disease and strokes. Officials are scratching their heads about what it could be. This is something that's just not going to go away. Doctors out there, you know, there's only so far you pretend you don't know what's happening. If you're a doctor, anyone out there, and I speak with respect because I've got a bona fide doctor on the line here, but you know what time it is, all right? For crying out loud, stand up, raise your voice and say, enough is enough. We need to stop this mass depopulation program known as the COVID vaccine campaign. PayPal are doing a number at the moment on dissenting voices. Yesterday, they canceled several publications funds and held them. They also attacked And I say attack because it was a financial attack, Us for Them UK. And this is an advocacy group that petitioned for anti-lockdown measures, especially for children's mental health, and not to mask children in school because it was affecting their development, their speech development, their mental health, etc. They were frozen yesterday as well for violating the terms and conditions of PayPal's platform. This all happened in the last 24 hours. So they're coming after a lot of people right now. And I mean, if you know anything about Us for Them, lovely group of people, very, very straightforward, down to earth people advocating for children's mental health. They've had their funds frozen as well. Ridiculous. And they rely on donations to keep the lights on, as they said. So that's something to bear in mind as well. So PayPal, yeah, have cancelled Us for Them. What is happening when a serious and advocacy group from children is struck off? Even if you don't always agree with their positions, they are thoughtful and responsible. This is a real threat to public debate. This is the trajectory that we're on, right? This violence in schools, this violence in public, this clamping down, this censorship, this locking the funds of a group that advocates for children's rights. Come on. Don't tell me we're not going down the slippery slope here. But anyway, those are some of the things that are happening at the minute. Just letting you know that not only are we on radio and streaming live on all the major platforms, but we also are on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Getter, Gab, Twitter, etc., etc., Instagram. So if you have any of those accounts, check out TNT Radio or search for TNT Radio. Follow us, subscribe to us, forward on our posts as we're trying to get the word out, wake people up, maybe save a life or two here on TNT Radio.
Your home for the news.
They do a great job of breaking down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Kat Lindley, my voice is cracking up a little bit here, as I am cracking up a little bit here. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. How are you? First and foremost, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back.
You're welcome. It's nice to see you in daylight. Normally you're skulking around in the middle of the night. But now it's daytime where you are because you're in Croatia. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's actually noon right now. So it's been really great, actually, being in Europe.
Yeah, you seem to be coming over here quite a lot. What's going on? Are you planning something or have you got some kind of, I don't know what you're up to. Why you keep coming over to Europe? Why aren't you in America?
So I just came from Vienna. We had a Better Way conference in Vienna for World Council for Health with our partners in Austria. And our steering committee member, Maria Hubner-Moog. That was really nice because people came from all around the world, from Australia, New Zealand, United States, Spain, UK, Germany, everywhere. It was kind of nice to be surrounded by people who want to learn, who are trying to do the right thing. And, coming back to Europe will always be my home. So I'll always be back. And when I go somewhere to Europe, I try to make a little side trip home to Croatia. And for your listeners who haven't been to Croatia, they need to go to Split. It's probably the most beautiful place in the world. Yes, Split.
S-P-L-I-T, literally Split.
Split, yes. Or Spalato in Italian, because it used to be an old Roman, one of their Caesars had a summer palace, the Diocletian Palace. So it's a very old part of the world, and it's a wonderful place. And I like being home.
Well, you know what? Actually, that's your country of origin, isn't it, down in Croatia? That's your old stomping ground, yeah?
Yeah, I was born in Split, and I lived here for 18 years of my life. And, you know, it's Mediterranean is very special. Our history, you know, our ties to family. And that's kind of, you know, what makes me going as well, because what we've lost in past 2.5 years is this connection to other human beings. So coming back home and, you know, seeing the same faces, I actually don't remember many people. It's kind of funny because they'll remember me and I was pretty young when I left. But it's just, you know, the history in Europe, the stories, the feeling, you just can't feel that anywhere else.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm partial to Europe myself, obviously being an Irishman and all that. But you know what I'm thinking? You're not on the tourist board for Croatia, are you? You're not one of the managing directors for the Croatian tourist board,
are you? I should be. I think
you should, because you're pushing split pretty hard. You're talking about Caesar's Palace. It's the most beautiful place in the world. I'm expecting an ad to pop up here going, you know, fly on, with a, on my phone saying Croatian Airlines. Maybe we should start promoting it here in TNT and do a deal with the Croatian. You've got contacts there. I've got contacts. Why don't we make a little money out of this off the back of it? Why not, eh? Why not? Everyone else is doing it. Why don't we do it?
We definitely should. I think we definitely should.
I'm a pretty good salesman. I'm pretty good. Hey. I can get people to think my way if I really push it. So I could maybe start pushing Croatia. What do you think?
I think we should do it. We should definitely partner up and do it. Ireland and Croatia, right?
There you go. What a combination. When you finish in Dublin, you can pop over to Split, and then you can split back to wherever you came from. How's that? That's our that could be our mantra. You can split, and then you can split the split. There you go. Anyway, listen, as you can see, I'm a little bit all over the place at the minute. I must stay focused. Stay focused, because we have issues to talk about that you're involved in. You're giving us a little bit of a background there on the Better Way Conference. That's something that you are involved in and have been now for some time. Is it, how can I say this? Is it gaining more momentum? Are more people coming on board with it? Are more medical professions aligning up with it to counter the narrative that's currently being pushed at the minute? How's the trajectory for the Better Way project?
I would say yes. But, you know, it's kind of easy to say yes when you're talking to an echo chamber. And I think that's the biggest fear with what's happening. And, you know, I'm grateful to TNT Radio that you guys have me on all the time. And hopefully we'll start reaching more and more people who are in middle. And I think we are, because they are starting to feel that things are not going the way they're supposed to. You know, like I think you were talking about what Dr. Claire Craig said with Australia numbers. You know, the numbers of COVID deaths are definitely down, but you're seeing this increase in numbers of other things. And I just spent a day morning yesterday with my best friend. Actually, we grew up together. We were born 3 months apart, and we literally grew up together. She's a nurse here, and she had to get the vaccine. She's really a healthy person, never had any issues, ran marathons and all that. All of a sudden, she has a really extremely high blood pressure and high heart rate, and she has to be on medications. And she received 3 vaccines, so her and I spoke. And, you know, I'm always honest with my friends and family and everyone, really. But I told her, you know, this is the vaccine. This, because they tried to say to her it's stress, because she works in an old people home and she's really busy. And I said, well, it's not stress. You know, we live stressful lives. I'm extremely stressed, but I don't have issues like that. And you're healthy. You shouldn't be having issues like that. And we had a really frank conversation, what's happening. And people are starting to see it, but you know, they don't know what to do with it, because when they go to physicians who are still part of the narrative, they are not heard. And they're just told, you know, it's stress, you're not sleeping, you're depressed, you're anxious. No one wants to, you know, look at this big elephant in the room that's affecting people's lives. So, you know, back to your original question, we are in echo chamber. We have to figure out the way to really break out. And the only way we can break out of this echo chamber is by just telling the truth. You know, my favorite saying is the one that Robert Malone said. Robert and I actually spoke about 2 days ago, and I told him the same thing. Truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose and it will defend itself.
Yeah.
And that's true. We just have to keep on telling the truth, telling the facts. We can't go on these tangents. You know, people talk about, does virus exist? Virus doesn't exist. What 5G is doing? All those things with the planes. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we still need to learn about. As far as I'm concerned, the virus definitely exists. And there's lots of these sidetracking conversations that people are having. What we have to do is tell the truth, keep the course, and I think we're going to get more and more people to join.
Yeah, I agree. And persistence is the key. And maybe what we'll do is actually we're coming up towards a break. We'll take it now. And then this business where you're saying, okay, we've got this organization, we've got this collective people, we're concerned, maybe it's becoming an echo chamber. What do? We need to get the truth out there. How do we do it? Maybe let's look at that, because I have a few theories and ideas myself based on personal experience, and it all centers around persistence, dogged persistence, bang, 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 bang. Even when you feel like you're getting nowhere, you keep banging, and then eventually, crack, the whole thing breaks open. So we'll take a quick break now, and when we come back, we'll look at this business of persistence, because it applies to all of us, no matter what we're trying to achieve, especially when we're trying to achieve things that'll save people's lives. So this is TNT Radio, Dr. Cat Lindley. I'm Rick Munn, Locked and Loaded. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these short ads.
You should hear what Hervoy Morich is talking about.
Apparently, Germany has seized control of three oil refineries owned by Russia's state oil giant Rosneft, as it seeks to secure energy supplies in the wake of what's going on in Ukraine. It marks an escalation of the energy war between Russia and the EU. Olaf Scholz, Germany's chancellor, said he's prepared for the risk of retaliation from Mr. Putin over the oil refineries. Is history repeating itself? We just keep going from one clown show to another. Yeah, this trajectory that we're on certainly does not look good. We did see yesterday Nord Stream 2 will basically be replaced by Russia's sending oil over to the east, so the Russians really don't care. And also Turkey will pay for a quarter of its Russian gas in rubles. So there goes more of that de-dollarization. Putin has come out saying the West has for decades sought to dismantle Russia and is now trying to use Ukraine as a tool for achieving this goal.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. Those 9 months were also 273 days of planning. What about your daughter's first costume party? It was out of this world. And let's not forget those barbecues you plan in detail for your family and your more vegetarian by the day best friends. That surprise party for your parents' golden anniversary? You get the golden planning. The same way you plan each detail for those moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make.
Government faked a pandemic. Government faked a test. Government faked a cure. Government must be held accountable. There's nothing fake about us. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, Dr. Cat Lindley and I were talking about the Better Way Conference. We're talking about the Croatian tourist industry. We're talking about all-cause mortality deaths. We're talking about a lot of stuff right now. We're going to talk a little bit about persistence. This is why, at this point in time, after the last 2.5 years, people are tired. People are just spent, I believe, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. A lot of people I can see are throwing in the towel. And I'm not criticizing people for that, because it's been a tough old grind, and some people have been getting it really tight. A lot of people have been trying to tell the truth, to really highlight the injustices that are going on at the minute, and seems like they're getting nowhere. Okay, it's like nobody's paying attention. Nobody's paying attention. Now is not the time to quit, because it's usually when you quit that you're actually on the verge of a breakthrough. At least that's what I've learned to my pain and detriment in the past. I've quit things when if I'd have hung in there just a little bit longer, I'd have got what I wanted, all right? And think about it, like if you hit a rock with a hammer, over and over again, nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. It's like, what are you wasting your time for hitting that rock with a hammer? If you hit it enough times, there'll be one strike in particular that will crack that rock right open. If you're trying to start a fire with, you know, two sticks and you're rubbing them together and nothing's happening, it's like, this doesn't work. No, you need to keep rubbing those sticks together and then it starts to smolder and then there's a little spark and then before you know it, you've got a fire, all right? And throwing mud at a wall, if you throw enough muck at a wall, sooner or later, some of it will stick. It hits it, slides off. You might miss the wall, but sooner or later, it sticks. So be persistent. Listener, whatever you're doing, whatever you're trying to achieve, especially if you're trying to wake people up and tell the truth, do not quit. Do not get despondent and do not throw in the towel because we are on the verge of something cracking open. I can feel it in my bones. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think there's been generally fatigue happening right now. There's a lot of, stagnation, some discourse in different groups. If you look from some of the things that are happening, but I think persistence is the key, especially when you know you're on the right side of history. It's very important to keep on telling the truth, to keep on getting people to realize what's happening, because honestly, we cannot do any more of these vaccines. You know, the same advice I gave my friend was, okay, you got the three, we're going to deal with this, you know, I'll help you, but don't get any more. And I think that's kind of where we need to keep on going. The world is very scary, as you know, your newscast before you came on, some of the things you guys touched on. But, you know, being back home in Croatia, I'll go back to Croatia. Mm-hmm. Life can be very simple if you just connected to your own family, to your friends, to your community, and people get together and they work through this. So I do know that we can actually overcome this. The key is to remember who we are as humans, to remember that we are supposed to lift each other up, laugh, cry together, and all that. All of these news that you talked about, they're scary and they make you want to stay at home, hide in a closet, but that's not what we need to do. So, you're right. We need to keep on just living life.
Mm-hmm. Keep living life and connect with real people. You said it yourself that when you go to that the conference in Vienna in Austria, being around like-minded people is the best because you get to interact with them, you get to look at them in the eye and so on and so forth. And while it's great to talk, you know, send emails, it's great to communicate in social media, it's good to talk on Zoom or whatever it happens to be, there's no substitute for being in the company of like-minded individuals. It can really give you, how would you say, a boost. It can give you a little shot in the arm, as it were, no pun intended, not the vaccine shot, literally a shot of energy to keep you going and sustain you in hard times. And these are hard times. And there's something else, actually, that I want to talk to you about today, and we will go into this one in detail. But there's a declaration that's been set up, medical crisis declaration. And if you're listening, you can go onto this and throw your weight behind it at medicalcrisisdeclaration.com. So what is that? Just to make our listeners aware, it's a declaration of international medical crisis due to the diseases and deaths correlated to the COVID-19 vaccine. So it's very specific to that. Okay. So we, the medical doctors and scientists from all over the world, declare that there is an international medical crisis due to the diseases and deaths correlated to the administration of products known as, quote, COVID-19 vaccines, unquote. We're currently witnessing an excess in mortality in those countries where the majority of the population has received the vaccines. To date, this excess mortality has neither been sufficiently investigated nor studied by national and international health institutions. Are we starting to see the rock crack on this one? As the death age ranges that are spiking, it's no longer the 75, 80-year-olds with comorbidities that you could write off. Okay, she was old, she had diabetes, she took a stroke, that's to be expected. You can hide stuff in certain demographics. I think that's a first statement, but it's hard to hide a heart attack or a stroke or myocarditis in a 10-year-old, in a 12-year-old, in a 15-year-old, in a professional sports person. Are we starting to see that rock beginning to crack now that this is becoming more and more frequent?
We are. And I think that's, you know, that's why we came up with this medical crisis declaration that physicians from all over the world have signed. And we did videos and things like that. And it started as an idea by one of the physicians from Spain, Natalia Prego. I forget, she has a third last name. I think that's her husband's name. So that's the actual last name. But I always remember her, Natalia Prego. You know, and she kind of brought us all together to write this declaration. And we all agree what we're seeing is unprecedented. It's not something that we should be seeing in any age group. Like you said, it's normal to see in elderly because, you know, chronic illness and end of life, things start happening a little bit more frequent. But we are seeing it in younger people, children, athletes. Interestingly, I don't know if you've seen that one of the Romania, I think it's Romania, coaches said that he will not have vaccinated players play for him because he has seen this happening in the football. And, you know, it's a risk to have these football players that you're actually paying them these big salaries and they can't play anymore. So I think the world is waking up a little. I'm still of the mind that the sports world can open this, you know, wide open because we all watch football games and American and European football and, you know, basketball and stuff like that and tennis players and watching them not being able to finish a match means something because they're you know, very healthy people and this is not normal for their age groups to be experiencing. So, you know, I think what we're trying to do with this medicalcrisisdeclaration.com, that's where everyone can go and sign it, is just to wake up. Mainly, you know, I think the world is waking up. We need to wake up our colleagues. We need to wake up other doctors. They have to stop hiding behind this and they have to start saying, you know, this is not what we're supposed to be seeing in these age groups.
Yeah. And just step up and do the right thing. It's never too late to do the right thing. Of course, the earlier you do it, the better. But if someone decides to turn and say, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. I need to raise up my voice. I need to come against the lies that are being told that are killing people and maiming people and robbing families of family members. It's not too late to do it. So if you're listening, who knows, maybe someone's listening out there, they're wrestling with their conscience, they know what's what, they're still remaining quiet. Maybe, who knows, if we can maybe tip one person over into opening up their mouth and aligning up with what you're trying to do, well then it's mission accomplished. We've got to take a really quick news break here, 30 seconds, and when we come back I want to look at these actual figures for increased all-cause mortality deaths, because it's not localized to any one country or any one state. This seems to be happening right across the globe to different levels. Some places like Iceland are particularly bad, but everywhere is showing a big spike in this, and also instances of miscarriages are going up as well. A lot of bad, horrible stuff is happening on the medical front, and heads are being scratched when in reality the elephant in the room is not being acknowledged. So we'll look at these figures maybe in a little bit more detail when we come back after the news here on TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. Anti-government protests are intensifying in Iran following the death of a 22-year-old woman who died in police custody. The U.S. Federal Reserve has ordered another supersized interest rate hike as it races to slow runaway inflation. And U.S. President Joe Biden has addressed the UN General Assembly in New York, where he lectured world leaders on imperialism and accused Russia of wanting to erase Ukraine as a state.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, this business of excess deaths, people are scratching their heads trying to figure out what it is. Politicians in particular don't seem to be that concerned about it. When it was the so-called pandemic was on every single day, we had a briefing from the White House or we had a briefing from Downing Street. Johnson would stand there with Chris Whitty and Patrick Vallance, the so-called chief health officer and the chief scientific officer, and they would rattle off figures, infections and percentages, and every single day, and even when it was down to one death a day, allegedly, They still banged it out. The fear was maintained. Now, these people are nowhere to be seen. I haven't seen Valance for a long time. I haven't seen Whitty. Van Tam quit. They all scarpered towards the end of the so-called pandemic and haven't risen again. You would have thought that they would be back on the scene when literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are dying unexpectedly within the United Kingdom and Ireland, but they're nowhere to be seen. Why do you think that is? Are they on vacation? Are they in Croatia? What's going on?
I'm not sure about Croatia part. Actually, before we go there, I just want to address one thing from the previous conversation we had. You remember we were in Ireland in August for the Irish Global COVID Summit Conference. And one thing that came out of that conference is actually a lot of doctors are starting to join because they listened to what we had to say and they start saying, yes, we're seeing that in our office. Nurses have come. A lot of people have come vaccine injured. So I think, you know, these efforts that we do at times, sometimes it feels like, you know, we are not moving the stakes, but we actually are.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's really one of the best things that came out of Ireland. I think Ireland is slowly waking up and I have great hope for it. But you're right. As far as our leaders are concerned, you know, I used to be angry. Kind of, I think anger is a normal feeling to have after everything that's going on. And like you said, they used to kind of announce with fanfare all those deaths according to COVID, if you know, based on data that they had. And we all know that that data is all really was not right data. But now that we're seeing this increase in mortality, all-cause mortality, they're all hiding and no one is having a press conference anymore. But I have to tell you, now I'm like, I just feel sad. You know, I feel sad. How have we come to this point in our lives that these so-called leaders are lying to our faces, are not leading, are involved in all sorts of deals, you know, behind our backs and are hiding the fact that people are dying. You know, I'm one of those people, I firmly believe that if you do something and you made a mistake, just admit it, you know, and we can figure out the way to go forward and how to get out of this. Instead, more lies, and now boosters and, well, one country, someone told me, Brazil just approved vaccines in children and, you know, maybe 5 to 12, I forget, but actually are vaccinating kids. They have a huge campaign to vaccinate kids. And it's like, it's just heartbreaking to see what's happening in our world, how life has lost its value and life is just, you know, commodity to them. They just like trade their lives for backroom deals.
Yeah, and you know, when you see the pictures, you know, there's a lot of websites. There's one in particular. There's a guy called Matt Jordan in Australia, has a big Instagram page. I think it's Vaccine Injuries Australia. 130,000 people are on that site. People leaving testimonies, 5-page long testimonies, photographs of them lying in hospital beds or the graves of their loved ones that have died. Like these are human beings. When I'm walking down a street now, right? When I'm walking down a street and I see a small child in a pram or a small child, you know, maybe 2 years of age, holding its mum or dad's hand walking, I'm looking at that kid going, they're actually targeting kids like that. Or you see a pregnant woman, you know, the baby's in the womb and you're thinking, they're targeting that child in the womb as well. And they are, by the way. And the lack of consistency as well. Here's something else to throw into the mix too. You have somewhere like Denmark. Recently, they pulled the jab for anybody under 50 years of age. So, you know, questions must surely be asked. Well, why? Why are you not injecting anyone under 50 in Denmark when they're pushing for it, for example, for children in Brazil, or they're still requiring non-US citizens to be injected before they can come and visit America or play in a sports tournament in America? In the UK, I believe under 15s now are no longer being offered an injection. Even if they've had the first one, they're not getting the second one. So there's pockets of places that are changing their medical advice, for want of a better expression, but there's no consistency there either. So it's under 50s for Denmark, under 15s for the UK, but in Brazil or somewhere like that, hey, they're still pushing for it. They're still advocating for it. Where's the consistency? Surely medicine, should there not be a general consensus that's followed rather than everyone just taking their own strategy to treat whatever in whatever way they want? There's no consistency there. That does that not undermine their or weaken their position a lot?
It 100% does. And interestingly, you know, COVID, I had some patients recently that had it in Texas, and it's very mild. It's, you know, it's symptoms are very mild. They do really well just with over-the-counter medicine, you know, homemade chicken soup, vitamins, fluids. So to be vaccinated against something that's really not really a concern anymore is just crazy. And inconsistency, you know, I'm not surprised because I would say that this whole 2.5 years a pandemic agenda has been really hallmarked with inconsistencies. You know, they kind of make the rules as they go. I remember reading an article maybe a month ago that one of the White House advisors was asked, how did you guys decide on 6 feet apart? And he said, well, we just chose that number because like 9 was too big and 3 was too small. So we decided to go with 6. So it's like there's no scientific basis for anything that they've decided. And now the doctors who truly are speaking about science because, you know, they rolled out the vaccine. Now we're seeing the fruits of that rollout. Well, we're seeing a lot of safety signals that are very concerning. So people are talking about it, but they're not acknowledging it. So the inconsistencies are very big. And that has to, and then you go, you know, you go back into your quiet space and you go, okay, 2 + 2 = 4. They're making it a 6. Why? And people ask, you know, what is the agenda? I don't think anyone knows except for the select group of people, but you have to ask yourself, is there something beyond what we're seeing? Because what we're seeing doesn't stand any test of reason.
No, it doesn't. And the other thing is, too, to bear in mind that when we're talking today, for example, today is the 22nd of September, we're talking about the figures that are available today from, and I'll give you an example here. This is from the Office of National Statistics themselves in the United Kingdom, okay? And this was dated the 21st of September, which was yesterday. So these figures are accurate as up to yesterday. Okay, so the number of deaths in England and Wales in week 36 of this year, so it's for a 1 week period, was above the 5-year average in every possible statistical category. So private homes, the average number of deaths was 24% above what it normally would be for a 5-year rolling average for this time of year. Hospitals, 6.2% above the 5-year average. Care homes, 2.6%, and other settings, 2.9%. So these are not little half percentage point statistical anomalies. These are taken over a 5-year rolling average, and in private homes at the minute, that's as at the week 36, they're 24% and climbing, right? So it's not like they're plateauing at 24% and then they're going into a decline, in which case you could say, well, whatever it was, it's subsiding and that's good, less people are dying. This is just going up, 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 up. And I'm sorry to say this, but if you and I were to talk in a month from now, on the 22nd of October, I would stake a lot of money if I was a gambler on the fact that those figures will be a hell of a lot higher than 24%. You could be 35%+ because the trajectory is going through the roof. At what point will they stop faffing about and just accept it? And or can they never do that? Because effectively what they will be saying is, you know what, we kind of knew this would happen. We told you it was safe and really it wasn't safe and it wasn't really tested and there wasn't really any proper clinical trials and all the celebrities told you and all the newspapers told you and your GP told you and the chief medical officer told you, but hey, you had a miscarriage. Look, it was a mistake. Your mom's dead. It was a mistake. You've got myocarditis. You can't work anymore. You've lost your house. Hey, forgive us. Let's just move on. That's not going to happen, is it?
So first of all, I think we have a date on 22nd, but it's a Saturday, so we should have it on October 24th. We're just teasing you. Second, you know what? I think human heart is big enough to accept the mistake if they truly meant it, but the problem is they don't. They'll never actually admit it. And the numbers make sense because as you're getting more boosters, we definitely know that with more injections you have, you will start actually having the side effects. So if you maybe had originally two or even three and you didn't have anything, you really have to be concerned what's going to happen with that fourth and fifth. And also in general, I would say that, you know, I remember something that Peter McCullough said very, very early on. I was we were speaking in Texas somewhere, and he said, I didn't know this, but he said it, and he said, if you have a vaccine that you have to boost within 1 year, that means that the vaccine is not working. And now, you know, I don't know how long is passed since the vaccine rollout exactly, but we are up to fourth and fifth boosters in some places. And that means that whatever this is not working. And the other thing is, you know, these new boosters that are coming up with, the booster has a strain of the original virus, and then it has the new BA4 and BA5 strain. But first of all, original virus is gone. We don't see it at all anymore. Uh-huh. The BA4 and BA5 are out the door. We're actually seeing very, very small number of cases. Very soon, we're not going to see any of those. So you're giving a vaccine for something that doesn't exist. Yeah. But what remains is the side effects that the vaccine is causing with this new mRNA technology that I would say no one truly knows the extent of how far, how bad it can get. We're probably just seeing the tip of the iceberg of this, of what this mRNA technology can do to our bodies. And, you know, messing up human body, I think you, you're Christian like I am, you know, the body that is really truly a miracle in itself, messing it up with this new technology and starting to put new, you know, genes, technology, or whatever inside us, it's never going to be a good idea. You just have to watch the sci-fi movies to know.
You do. And at the end of the day, listen, they're playing God when you hear someone like Yuval Harari, who's the mouthpiece for this transhumanism AI interface project that they've got going on through the World Economic Forum. The guy's demented. You know, he's a bona fide psychopath talking about we'll do away with the soul and we'll become God and this, that, and that. Listen, no offense to anyone out there who's bald, right? But Yuval Harari is bald, right? So go away and work your magic and grow some hair. And when you grow hair, then you'll convince me somehow that you'll remove my soul and that you're God. The little rat can't even grow a head of hair, let alone change my soul. Wind your neck in, Yuval Harari, and all you other globalists that are out there. Your time, listen, don't mess around with the creator. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm not disrespecting him because, look, I'm starting to, you know, I'm going a little, but I shaved my head anyway, so I can get away with it. But anyway, I digress. We've got to take a quick ad break after we've just had a little bash of Yuval. I like bashing that little rat. But when we come back, let's look at something disturbing that I saw, actually a story in America about a child that was taken off their parents in a hospital setting because they were asking too many questions about medication side effects when their daughter had been temporarily blinded on a treatment program for something to do with their kidneys. But anyway, we'll get into that when we come back after these short ads here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Hurricane Fiona is a Category 4 hurricane. It is going to bypass Bermuda to the west. Bermuda will have hurricane conditions. But then it's going to hit the Canadian Maritime provinces, and it will be the most extreme tropical cyclone ever to hit Canada. And yes, it is going to be extreme. That's the thing on my side of the issue with me. I don't deny something. Most systems are not getting stronger, but this one will be. It will break every pressure and wind record for that part of Canada that's going to hit. It's going to hit on the weekend. In the meantime, storm is going to organize in the Western Caribbean, come up into the Gulf of Mexico, and we'll probably have a major hurricane hit in Florida next week. On CFACT, who I write for, I am informing Governor DeSantis he's got to get ahead of this for various reasons. And one of the reasons is because the supply chain has been destroyed by Joe Biden's policies. I'll get into that tomorrow. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Hi, my name is Marnie Dobek. I'm a family physician, and my son Zachary almost died of sepsis last year. We were lucky. Most people don't know the word sepsis, and they don't know the symptoms. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Know sepsis. To learn more about the symptoms, please go to sepsis.org.
Child labor and toxic leaks, the price we pay for a greener future. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm just wrapping up this segment with Dr. Kat Lindley, who's very kindly very kindly agreed to join us from Croatia. You can probably tell my brains are, I'm short-circuiting a little bit here. Just a few more figures, by the way, to tie up what we were saying earlier on. And by the way, another plug in case I forget it, www.medicalcrisisdeclaration.com, group of medical professionals getting together to say, listen, the increase in all-cause mortalities, these deaths, these people dropping, these children taking heart diseases, these athletes that are death spiking through the roof, it's all linked into the COVID vaccine and it's gaining a little bit of traction. So go on there and throw your weight behind that one. In the US, life insurance companies have said that deaths have increased by 40% in 18 to 49-year-olds. And believe me, probably the most accurate source of this type of information is a life insurance company, because they are paying out claims, millions upon millions. And dare I say, actually, something people haven't figured out is that if the life insurance companies go bust, which they could realistically do if these claims keep coming in, they just don't have enough capital to pay out what they owe. If the life insurance industry collapses, then people's sort of financial safety net will be removed around mortgages and unsecured loans and provision to their family if they die. The long-standing implications of this could be horrendous. In the EU, which is where we are now, just to give you an example, for the month of July, granted that's 8 weeks ago, but nonetheless, in July, 53,000 excess deaths were recorded in July, above and beyond what is expected at this time. 53,000. It's not one or two. It's not 10 or 20. It's not 100 or 200. And every death is sad. We all know that. But this is 53K. So these figures aren't something trivial in any way, shape, or form. The figures, as they say, speak for themselves. And these are from official sources. Okay. Here's a disturbing story I read last night. The use and abuse of Evelyn Young. A 10-year-old girl has been medically kidnapped by a prestigious Missouri research hospital after injuring her brain and temporarily blinding her with dubious drugs. Her parents tried to change hospitals. The doctors have refused and given the child into state custody. This is a disturbing story, and it's legitimate, by the way. I have other references to the source of the story and links through one thing and another. There's a campaign page set up called Save Evelyn Young. Can they do that? I mean, as a parent, if you took one of your kids into hospital, say you did with the knowledge that you have, and one of the doctors in there who was responsible for treating one of your children said, okay, we want to give them this and this, and you said, well, no, I question that. I mean, I'm not sure about that. They turn around and say, well, actually, you're not acting in your child's best interest. You're an unfit parent. We're going to take the child off you and put them into state care. This is happening right now. Is this not something to be highly concerned about?
It is. I'm not a lawyer. I don't really know the extent of why something like that has happened. But if the physicians feel that the child is in danger, they can call the protective services. Mm-hmm. to protect the child. You know, I haven't heard the story, but based on what you said, I don't really see a reason why the physicians would feel that the child is in imminent uh-huh. danger. So if I was a parent of that child, you know, Evelyn, I would definitely get myself a good lawyer and go find a court right away and a judge that would rule on this injunction. Mm-hmm. But let's put it this way. Am I surprised? Not really, because I would say that what's happened in the past few years has shown us that anything can happen mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. government, the state, the federal agencies have a lot of power because we've given that power away to them in the for the sake of safety. And that's, you know, you have to be careful what you give away because those things will mm-hmm. never come back. They will not voluntarily mm-hmm. give them back to you. So I'm not surprised something like this is happening. And this is, I think, a lesson to us all to understand how freedom is fragile and probably the most precious thing we have in the world. And we mm-hmm. need to really, really be careful what we are willing to do, you know, in the name of safety or whatever we are promised.
Yeah. Well, I've just sent you a link through to that story, by the way. It was published on Tuesday, the 20th of September. So that's only 2 days ago in America's Frontline News. And the basic background is Children's Mercy Hospital accused of medical kidnapping. Justin and JJ Young brought their 10-year-old daughter, Evelyn, to the hospital in Kansas earlier this month to help with kidney issues. She suffers from a nephrotic syndrome, kidney disorder, and so on and so forth. So they were treating her with a concoction of drugs. One of them blinded her temporarily. The parents started asking questions, doing their own research on the drugs, looked at the medical charts, etc., started to actively question the doctors about the treatment that was being given to their daughter, whether or not it was actually safe or not. And at that point, they said, listen, they wanted to then remove the child from the hospital in a sick state because they believed her life was at danger because of the care she was receiving. Mm-hmm. Then the authorities stepped in, and she was placed into state care, and the parents are not allowed to see her. So you can read through that, the details of that. But it's actually happening mm-hmm. at the minute, and this is going to become a big case because there's already a lot of people trying to get the best lawyers involved and so on and so forth. But are we not seeing fear? We've seen fear weaponized in general right across every area, but we're really seeing it weaponized in the medical field now. So, for example, if you don't do like any parent's biggest fear is either the death of their child or the loss of their child, you know, taken into custody or whatever. You know, that's your biggest fear as a mother, as a father. At least it should be if you're a good parent. Your child's welfare is number one. So if the thought is there that if you don't comply with things that the government or the medical profession are doing, you could lose your child, even though you think what they're doing is not the best thing, the fear of losing that child overrides that natural instinct. And we see that as well in Western Australia. Their so-called Premier, Mark McGowan, had mandated that if a parent wasn't vaccinated, they couldn't enter a hospital to visit a sick child, for example. So even though that child was lying in hospital alone and suffering and wanted their parents, they weren't being allowed in. Medical fear, weaponized fear in a medical front. I think that's about as sick as it gets because of all the institutions, people would like to think that the medical professional above all are out for their best interest to save life, to do no harm and all that business. But it doesn't look like it's the case anymore. In general.
I agree. You know, and I heard a song while ago, a few years back, and the song says fear is a liar, and it's true because you know it hits you hard, and especially when it comes to your children, you will do everything to keep them safe. And you know, even at the beginning, one of the reasons I recognized early what was happening was the fear, the heightened level of fear that kind of made us comply to a lot of things. And now we have to deal with, you know, coming out of that fear. And that's why, you know, what TNT Radio does, what you do, what your people behind do, and even, you know, your guests do is important. because we need to show the people that you can come out of this fear.
Yeah, you can. And fear is a very debilitating condition. If you live in a state of fear, you know, you're on edge, you're tense, you know, you get adrenaline dumps and all sorts of hormones run around your body. And, you know, it's not good to live in a state of perpetual fear. A little bit of fear is good. A little bit of fear could save your life, maybe in some circumstances. But also living in a state of fear can weaken you no end and also can limit you from going out into the real world and living life. A lot of people are still hiding in their houses because of the threat of the disease and wearing face masks because they're afraid of getting a so-called virus that's effectively no worse than a common cold at this point. But that's the power of fear. So yes, we're trying to combat that. I know you're doing it and I know I'm trying to do it. And, you know, we're up to time here and I appreciate you joining me today. I know it's your downtime back home again, so I appreciate you joining me from Croatia. I wish you safe travels back over home, or sort of adopted home back over in Texas. That's Dr. Kat Lindley. And check out www.medicalcrisisdeclaration.com. Educate yourselves about these all-cause mortality deaths and use them as statistics to waken up your slumbering friends and family. And it's never too late to do the right thing. So thank you very much, Dr. Kat. I will be back after the news with Roger Tattersall here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.